spoken yet unsaid, written by Triscribe, and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars and Batman crossover fic, featuring Cassandra Cain, Shock T, and Arc Commander Colt. This is rated for general audiences, and no archive warnings apply. Abridged summary. Cassandra Cain, Kamino, and the benefit of understanding body language above all others. She awoke surrounded by white. Floors, walls, ceiling. All of it a bright, blazingly clean white, no smudge of dirt or pop of color to be seen. A word for it hovered, just out of reach, hiding behind fancy hospital waiting rooms and the worst sort of villain lairs. Sterile. Cass didn't like it. Not one bit. She'd become used to the shadows of Gotham, of Hong Kong. Her suit blended into the darkness, allowing her to strike unseen, to remove opponents one by one until those left surrendered from sheer terror. She couldn't do that, surrounded by sterile white walls, not a scrap of shadow in sight. Still, hiding places or not, Cass could move more silently than any other member of her family, and move she did. One corridor passed after another, some lined with sliding doors, others not. Twice, she ducked back through intersections to avoid robots patrolling the area. Odd, delicate, hovering without touching the ground. They didn't look like anything she'd ever seen in the labs of Wayne Tech, on the rare tours given by her brother Tim. Nor did they look remotely like the more dangerous, weaponized creations of LexCorp, which she'd fought on occasion when Tim wanted backup getting into Luther's on-site servers. The closest thing Cass could think of would be the most recent alien invasion the heroes of Earth fought off, honestly. Technology that came from somewhere other than the human mind. A distressing comparison, considering her GPS unit refused to work. Windows. Cass needed to find windows and get a better idea of her situation. Eventually, she mapped out enough crisscrossing, near-identical corridors to find a bank of elevators. As soon as the coast appeared clear, she ducked beneath the obvious security camera and through a closing door behind an existing robot. No buttons on the inside, the compartment simply began to move of its own accord, upward. And up, and up, and up. When her ride finally came to a halt, Cass leapt and braced herself by the ceiling, just in case. The door slid open. No one entered, robot or otherwise. Cautiously, Cass craned her head down to peek, hood pulled snugly enough not to dangle and give her away. Another corridor, but wider, with lane markings on the floor to direct traffic. A solitary robot drifted through the intersection on her right. To the left, something tall and definitely not human glided out of her line of sight. Cass went left. And we plan to decant another 1,500 units the day after tomorrow, the Kaminoan beside her murmured, pulling up figures and charts upon a datapad. Shock T only hummed in acknowledgement. She understood all too well the continued need of reinforcements for their clone troops on the front lines, but the Jedi Master couldn't fathom a war that stretched for so long the infants still being made would have time to grow up and be deployed. Either the Kaminoan scientists did, or else operated according to their greedy hopes more than any sort of logic. Shock drifted into a light meditative trance as she continued to stroll alongside the project manager, absorbing words and data without allowing herself to become distressed. The subtle vibrations of their footsteps tingled against her three leku. Deeper, more distant rumbles echoed in her tall montrals, caused by the massive ocean waves that relentlessly beat against Topoka City, crashing constantly against the metal walls and supports. On the floor levels below them, thousands of clones went about their daily routines, sparring, shooting, engaging their minds and bodies alike to prepare for assessments, tests, and eventual assignment to the war. All of it washed over Shock, an ocean of the intangible sort, eddies and currents in the Force. All of it normal, expected, except for one small flicker, only a little further back down the corridor behind her. An intruder. But not, the Force whispered to her, necessarily a hostile one. The subdued flicker of the light flitted along with a hunter's stealth, finding every subtle bit of cover a person could possibly use in the pristine halls. Shock narrowed her concentration to solely pay attention to the intruder, expression never changing, pace never faltering. The Kaminoan beside her didn't notice a thing. Corner to doorframe, sidle beneath the camera as it turns, duck low while passing a vent cover. A neat leap, clear over a droid coming around the next corner, silent landing, glide toward the next doorway. If the intruder were an assassin, they could have struck at any of four points along their journey through the corridor, possibly more before Shock noticed them. And yet, for all she gleaned the impression of a sharp, clear mind, no malice or grim intent loomed. Asajj Ventress, as a counterexample, she would have sensed a mile off, thanks to the young woman's pure viciousness of spirit. All Shock could feel from the hunter trailing after her was wariness, concern, and no small hint of curiosity. Even more intriguing. The taller alien, Cass couldn't read very well. It managed an impression of severity, coolness, but little else. And even those impressions could just as well have come from how well the being matched the halls around them. The others stood out so much more. Long brown robes, bright red skin, the blue-striped appendages sweeping up from and hanging down below their head. That one, Cass wanted to pay attention to. They walked alongside the taller alien, listening in the same way Bruce did at board meetings. Which was to say, paying just enough attention to hum at the right moments, but really thinking about something else entirely. They also walked like a warrior, something Cass could easily see. Graceful, poised, strength held in check, speed waiting for the right moment to be unleashed. Someone who could make an impressive ally, or a dangerous enemy, and Cass didn't know which to expect. The two aliens turned down a new corridor. She followed, boots not making so much as a whisper on the pristine floor, but when Cass came around the turn, she couldn't help but pause. Windows, not looking out, but further in. A large, round hall, full of tables, benches, and humans with the same face. Tim once painstakingly explained the concept of a clone to her before introducing Cass to his friend Superboy. And that was the only thing she could think of, looking down towards hundreds of physically identical people. Identical soldiers, judging by how they walked, the armor most of them wore. Cass felt her stomach sink. That many soldiers meant an army, and unknown armies were never a good thing. Ndal Gede. The sudden flare of shock and concern tipped the scale of Shock T's decision. She bid her companion farewell and sent the Kaminoan on further down the curved hallway. Then the Jedi retraced her steps to find the mystery intruder frozen by the first window looking down in the main refectory hall. Black clothing edged with gold, a concealing hood, and a lower face mask. Alarm and confusion, which convinced Shock more than anything that something truly out of the ordinary occurred to deliver the unknown individual to Topoka City. After all, no one would react like that if they'd known beforehand about the clone troopers. "Hello there," she greeted, and the intruder went stiff. That concealing hood swiveled, and dark eyes framed with short black hair peered back at her. "You seem to be lost, little one." No response. Those eyes continued to stare, the mind behind them gone impressively quiet and still. Rudimentary mental shields, which took shock by surprise. As much as the intruder had been broadcasting earlier, she wouldn't have thought them capable of such a thing. Even so, however, focusing closely on that young mind still turned up a swirl of impressions and emotions, first and foremost a rising sense of frustration, an old sense of frustration, deep and well-honed. "Can you understand my speech?" Again, no response. Not to the words, anyway, though Shock's gentle tone seemed to be easing the immediate wariness. "Perhaps this might do it," she hummed. Bringing her hands together, the Jedi bowed. Just low enough, the tips of her front leku brushed the floor. The gesture served two purposes, a greeting, certainly, but also a momentarily stronger connection to the vibrations in the metal, giving Shock a more precise peek at the intruder's heartbeat and rate of breathing. Reassuringly, both slowed a touch. And then, more reassuringly, the stranger bowed back, one hand held up flat, the other folded into a fist before they pressed together, and then a perfectly precise bend of 90 degrees from the waist, even deeper than Shock's own. After a few moments, each of them stood back upright, and Shock smiled when she saw the spark of curiosity come to the forefront of that shielded mind. "You are entirely justified in your alarm," she said softly, gesturing out to the men below, allowing a tight smile and oh-so-slightly bitter tone to her words. "None of us wish this army was necessary. Some of us wonder whether it ever needed to be necessary. And yet, here we are, doing what we can." Something in how she spoke or how she moved, or simply how she felt, made it across the language barrier. The stranger further relaxed, easing out of a stance that could have leapt into fighting or fleeing at a moment's notice. Progress. Though that did still leave Shock wondering, what sort of fight could the small hunter offer? Cass decided she would trust the odd alien, at least up to a point. The bow helped. The reluctant, frustrated despairing that seeped out when they gestured to the identical men helped more. Those were cues Cass picked up from her siblings at times, from Bruce, even from Alfred, when a course of action was chosen but not liked. Best of a bad thing, or perhaps less of two evils, they'd call it. Clearly, the warrior who stood before her held mixed opinions on the army of clones, and that offered enough incentive for Cass not to attack or return to her wandering. The words spoken at her continued to make no sense at all, which did burn, making Cass feel like she'd gone back to where she started, able to intimately understand the intricacies of body language, but nothing else, thanks to the isolation and training of her early years. She didn't bother to try and speak any of the English or Chinese learned since breaking free of David Kane's control. Almost certainly, they would only sound like nonsense to the alien in turn, if Cass could even force her mouth to cooperate. Hard enough at the best of times, less so when frustration made her teeth grind and stress twisted her tongue out of shape. So instead, she stayed silent, following, watching, learning. Her new friend led the way out of the mostly empty corridors and into ones filled with more of the same face men. Many smiled at the alien, nodding or waving, before turning curious glances toward Cass. A few times, hovering robots flitted past. Twice, Cass saw the tall and spindly aliens who matched the sterile corridors, but no others like the warrior she trailed after. Finally, they arrived at a room that looked like an apartment. Sofa and low table, plants, a small kitchen to one side, and two doors on the other. A large woven mat occupied the floor next to the back wall, which was dominated by a large window. Cass drifted towards it as her host headed for the kitchen. Gray clouds filled the sky from horizon to horizon, while massive waves surged and dropped and surged again, filling the rest of the visible world. Off to one side, Cass could see further structures, white and rounded and dotted with their own windows, standing atop massive poles that vanished into the water below. At least she now knew better than to try and get outside. Not without first locating a boat or plane to steal, or possibly a spaceship if the ocean turned out to not be one of those that belonged to Earth. A scent reached her nose. Cass blinked and turned and almost laughed. Everything else aside, she knew a teapot when she saw one. The alien turned a startled, amused look in her direction before smiling. A gesture invited Cass to come sit at the counter, which she did, unlocking and pulling down the fabric of her face mask at the same time. The alien's smile grew wider. When the teapot beeped, they poured the dark blue-brown liquid into a pair of mugs and slid one over to Cass. A quick check revealed the tea not too hot to drink, but even so, Cass remained cautious as she took a sip. Sweet. Normally, she'd need to add milk and sugar to Alfred's tea for it to turn out like that. Whatever this kind of tea was, Cass liked it. After a few minutes of quiet, the alien hummed and gestured again, in such a way that indicated an introduction, before slowly producing a set of distinct sounds. Cass tried to shape her mouth around the same. Sha-a-ka-ti. Shakti. No, not quite. Shakta-ti. Frowning, Cass practiced Damien's habit of clicking his tongue a few times, then said, Shakti. She received the alien's widest smile yet, and a deep nod. Perhaps a name, perhaps a title, but either way, it seemed only fair to offer her own in return. Orphan, Cassandra. Cass, Orphan Cass. Bruce would almost certainly sigh despairingly, as would most of her siblings, at sharing her identities in tandem, but none of them were around to fuss, now were they? Orphan Cass, the alien murmured. Malay Cassandra Cass. Shakti, Cass repeated, and for a moment, as the two of them shared a look over their mugs of tea, sitting in an apartment with a facility surrounded by vast ocean, they understood each other just fine. I'm sorry, Colt asked, incredulous tone aimed at shock even as he kept his gaze locked onto the girl, presently throwing two of his brothers around on the sparring mats. Where exactly did she come from? I haven't the faintest notion, Shock hummed, watching the match as well, with more than just her eyes. Cass maintained an incredible amount of control over her body, the precise leaps and strikes only telling half the story. The few words she's deigned to share are an entirely unknown language, she has no idea where to find her homeworld on any of the star charts I've presented, and a full security sweep has yet to turn up where she even entered the city. Honestly, that last point would be the most concerning if it were not obvious that even Cass herself had no idea how she'd arrived in the lower levels. Colt released a despairing sigh. General. She is not a separatist spy, Shock told him, firmly, one hand shifting to brush a reassuring touch to the man's arm. Even if she were, I would feel inclined to keep her under a close eye rather than banished into a holding cell. That makes one of us, Colt muttered, but some of the unease went out of his shoulders. And then it came right back when a startled shout heralded Blitz colliding with Havoc and both of them collapsing onto the mats, a very smug Cass landing in a poised crouch several steps away. Criff, are we sure she's human? An exceptionally well-trained one, Shock confirmed, slanting a smirk in his direction. Perhaps you should remind your brothers not to underestimate new opponents again, The man grunted. If they didn't get that lesson well and truly driven into their skulls after sparring with you, I doubt there's any hope for them. Shock allowed herself a proper laugh at that. The end. Authors' endnotes. Option the first. Cass gets to spend a fun few weeks fighting with super soldiers and playing with little clones and being Shakti's shadow until a very stressed Bruce shows up with a handful of League members in tow to handle translations and express gratitude. Option the second. Cass spends a much longer few months actively participating in canon events and saving the day, to the point she's invited to Coruscant for reasons, takes one look at Palpatine's false signals and fake smiles, and goes, "Oh hey, bad guy spotted, is anyone else gonna punch him?" and doesn't wait for an answer. The end for real.